Welcome back to Two Guys, a Movie and a Podcast, where every week we mine the cavernous depths of Netflix to find those gems that might otherwise go unwatched, or even worse, unnoticed. My name is Tyler. You can call me T. I don't really care one way or another.
And my name? You want to know my name? It's Malcolm. You can call me Mac, but it doesn't matter.
That was very quiet.
Sorry.
As a quick recap, Mac gave this movie a 10. I gave this movie a 1. He loved it for all the reasons that I hated it, and I hated it for all the reasons that he loved it. Has a runtime of 1 hour and 56 minutes, comes from 2008, has an IMDb score of 8.1, that's out of roughly 669,000 votes, that puts me in the minority, and a Metacritic score of 72 out of 34 critics' reviews, and stars people. Mostly Clint Eastwood.
I was going to mention that the guy that played, what is it, Robert E. Allen? No. It's the guy that played.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Lynch is his last name. Carol, no. I know who you're talking about, yeah. The barber. The barber played Arthur Lee Allen.
Yeah. What did I say? Robert?
You said Robert. You're like, Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
I just thought of that. Like,
yeah.
Just now.
Yeah. I knew his name when we did the Zodiac episode. And I had committed it to my memory for maybe a week, maybe two. And then he shows up here. And I was like, oh, it's that guy. Who's going first? Mac, you want to go first? You want me to go first? I'm not playing rock, paper, scissors. We're not doing this. I did watch an episode of American Housewife the other day because I kind of like silly sitcoms. And it's kind of a dumb, silly sitcom. But the parents in that show the other day, they played rock, paper, scissors. There was no shooting. There was no throwing. They just held their hands out and went pop, pop, pop. They didn't say pop, pop, pop. I added that for effect. But they just did it all silent. They didn't even say rock, paper, scissors. They played like the pros.
After the show, I'm going to show you YouTubers I'm subscribed to, the way they play.
Okay.
It's pretty unique. Different. It's weird. But anyways.
Okay.
I'll go. I have parts I dislike.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm still keeping it as a 10.
Fair enough.
But I do have parts that I dislike. Parts that I do like, that I fairly enjoyed, I will say any part that Clint Eastwood and the preacher dude
okay.
were talking. Just kind of how he, yeah, just, what's the word I'm looking for?
If only I were a mind reader.
I don't want to say degraded him. Did he degrade him? I mean, he kind of did.
I don't think he really did.
What does degrade mean?
Kind of like humiliate.
Well, I mean,
I don't think he really humiliated him.
Called him like a 13-year-old virgin.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the opposite direction. I was thinking like the priest was degrading.
No.
No. Okay. Yeah.
The other way.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, he was pretty degrading to the priest. Yes, you are correct there.
those were kind of humorous. When he was in the barbershop with Tao, and Tao was trying to talk man talk. One of the more serious points in the movie that I fairly enjoyed was... Not the funeral.
Okay.
But like when he was going to the house, and he took his little old wrinkly fingers, he put them in his jacket, and then he all got shot up. Like, I cried. I did. I'll be honest.
Okay.
I've never seen an old man shot up like that, so.
Okay.
I think the moments with him and Sue, was that her name?
Yes.
The moments with her, I think those were pretty deep. I mean, for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they were. They were life lessons. Well,
clearly, I don't agree with you on most of this stuff. They were
lessons in life. When she was hanging out with her gangster boyfriend. I thought that part was pretty funny.
Yeah, the part where Clint Eastwood calls him a spook.
It was a good movie.
Was it, though?
It was.
Was it, though? It was
pretty damn good.
Don't think so.
There was a lot of moments in the movie that were really good.
Paul, there were a lot of... You're half right there. I will agree with you on half of that. There are a lot of moments in this two-hour movie. Almost two-hour movie.
It was too long?
No. Although it was too long. Oh, man. I had to get some information before I went back.
Before you slandered it?
Before I got back to my... disposition with this movie.
Okay.
I don't know if disposition is the right word. Disliking of this movie.
I don't know what it means. Anyway, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, have you said all you want to say, or you got any more else to say? What parts? You said there were some parts that you didn't like. What parts didn't you like?
Any parts with like their cousins, the Tao and Sue's cousins.
Oh.
Like, I thought those were just too much. Like, it was, so, I could agree with you that was, like, so over like, the top.
So, like, the part where he goes over for the barbecue? I guess I don't know what you mean by the part where he goes over with oh, okay, the gangster cousins.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the barbecue was funny. I love that part.
Okay.
And they're sacrificing that chicken.
Ah, man. All right. Anything else?
No. I'll stop.
By all means, unload. By all means, I don't want to step on your. I don't want to step on your toes.
Please don't. No, I mean I'm done.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll discuss the same parts here.
I'm sure we will. We'll catch up. We'll catch a few things here. I don't even know where to start with my hatred of this thing. Are you familiar with the term Oscar bait? It's when a movie tries so hard to become an Oscar-nominated movie. And a lot of the times, like, you can usually tell because, like, the script is kind of doughy. It hits a lot of they tend to hit a lot of very similar beats. They tend to try to do a lot of the same things. Usually, if there is an original song written for the movie, much like this this terrible ending song, it's because they're trying very hard to get an Oscar nomination for a Best Original Song. Or when an actor such as Clint Eastwood comes into a role and he really steps into it and he does something that maybe you think is a little bit gruff or tough. It's probably because he wants an Oscar nomination for Best Actor. You got a script that covers a wide variety of topical issues. It's probably aiming for an Oscar nomination. This movie, to me, was all of that stuff crammed in to 1 hour and 56 minutes. And it drove me nuts. Another disclaimer, everybody. Be an explicit tag on this. There's going to be some race. This movie deals a lot with racism. Probably going to be some strong language in it. Just be warned. Before we go any further.
You were warned.
Yes. And we also warned you in the spoiler-free episode, but warning still remains for this episode. This movie was not nominated for any Oscars that year.
No.
But it was nominated for, like, a crazy amount of Golden Globes, which most people, like a lot of people watch Golden Globes. Like I get into like Oscar season pretty heavy. And usually when something's nominated for a Golden Globe or a lot of Golden Globes, it tends to kind of carry over to the Oscars. Golden Globes tend to be kind of a precursor to the Oscars. Mm-hmm. This movie was snubbed from all the Oscars for whatever reason. I don't know why. I thought it was nominated for a bunch of Oscars. I still call it Oscar bait because I feel like they're aiming for like a crazy amount of awards. And that is like a large portion of why I don't like it. I just felt like it tried so hard. Like you could have toned everything down. You could have like smoothed out the script a little bit. It would have been so much better to me. But everything just seemed like it was so in your face. Like, it's like, we get it. He's racist. All right. There's a podcast I listen to called the Pen Pals Podcast. And it's these two comedians, and they just talk about a wide range of topics. And an episode I listened to the other day, they were talking about country music and how a lot of like newer country music is like country singers listing things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that time we were at the bar and then my car broke down on the country road and then you were upset because my dog died, you know. And it's just this barrage of things that are meant to, you know, it's casting a wide net. Somebody out there is going to connect with one of those things. Someone's dog died. Somebody else is going to connect to something else. Yeah, we go to the bars out there and we drink the whiskey and the beer and the brewskis. You know, like it just casts a wide net trying to capture as many things that people can connect to as possible. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of what this movie did. It's like, when we were talking about See You Yesterday, you mentioned, yeah, you don't get into politics. You don't get political.
No.
That's cool. I feel like this movie is very political. I'll gladly explain why. Because, like, the movie itself, like, the story itself isn't necessarily political. It covers, but it's like, the story itself isn't political, but the movie itself aims to be kind of political to me, in that it's very, very American. It's like the guy tries to steal his car. First thing he does, pull out my gun. I'm going to shoot him. He's on my property doing stuff. Brr. Neighbors, they're in a fight on his yard. First thing he does, pull out my gun. I'm going to shoot them. They're causing trouble in my yard. Brr. He's like, there's a scene where he's literally just sitting on the couch, like reading the newspaper or something. His neighbor's house gets shot up. He reaches over, opens the drawer on the table next to him, pulls out a gun. And goes outside. He's gonna do some damage.
He was in the war.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't make me feel any better about it. Like he sees what do we say the young woman's name was?
Sue.
Yeah. He sees her on the street with her boyfriend. They're being hassled by the African American guys. Oh, I'm gonna put a stop to this. He goes out, calls them some racial slurs. Pulls out a fake gun, you know, just his hand, and he pretends to shoot him, and they're like laughing at him, and then he pulls out a real gun, because I'm an American. Rrr, look at me, I carry a gun with me all the time, I got guns sitting with me in every room of my house. Like, ugh! It's like, just drove me nuts. That's like just one of the things that they're piling into this list of things. You have like your very American story, the American war vet that people can identify with, like the older people can identify with, the war vets out there, they can identify with him. Maybe even just older people can identify with him because his family doesn't understand him and they want to put him in an old folks home. You know, you got the tragedy of his wife dying, like, right off the bat. You have the foreigners sitting next door, and they're, like, being foreign people out there.
Doing
like,
foreign
things. Doing foreign things. And I don't feel like I'm particularly out of line when I say that, because that seems to be exactly what he's thinking at any given point at the beginning of the movie, at least. Tao shows up at his door early on in the movie. He opens the door. He's like, "What do you want, Zipperhead?" Like, that's it. Like, like, it's like, okay, I get it. You were in the war. I get it. You're racist. Every interaction he has with anybody is laced with racial slurs. You could probably tone it down a little bit and it'd be just fine. I'm not saying he shouldn't. I mean, he's a racist character. That's the whole point. That's half the point of the movie. But it seems like you're really, like, really pushing that he's racist. Like, he goes to the barber. He's, like, calling him a Polack. He's calling him a Jew. He's just being a racist guy. And the barber's the same way, you know. And it's just their way because they're old and that's how they are. And I don't accept that.
That's how it was.
Accept that as necessarily making racism acceptable. I feel like this movie tries to make racism a little more acceptable than it should be. I mean, no racism should be acceptable. I feel like this movie, like, tries to write it off as something that should be kind of laughed off or shrugged off because he's old and it's okay if he calls him gooks and zipperheads and he can't understand. He doesn't know how to pronounce Hmong. He's like Hmong. And like the other, like, we talked once, you said that you thought that Clint Eastwood, like, Dirty Harry made him sound like he was racist. Just the title alone made him sound like he was racist.
He's a Dirty Harry.
Like, I will say, in Dirty Harry, he did make one racial slur. But I don't think that movie, or even just the title alone, makes him sound racist. I think there's other things. I think there's plenty of things in this movie that are clearly racist.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong, April. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I may not be the most pleasant person to be around, but I got the best woman who's ever on this planet to marry me. I worked at it. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, hands down. But you know, you're letting Click Clack Ding Dong and Charlie Chan just walk out with Miss What's-Her-Face. She likes you, you know. Though I don't know why. Who? Yum Yum. You know, the girl in the purple sweater. She's been looking at you all day, stupid.
You mean you are?
Yeah, Yum Yum, yeah. Nice girl.
He's unacceptably racist at the beginning of the movie. And then they just start, like, about halfway through, they're kind of, like, everyone just accepts it. And it's just like, oh, it's okay. Walt, he's been through some shit. Yeah, we can let him call it zipperheads and gooks. It's okay. Oh, look, he made another joke about us eating dogs. Oh, no, we only eat cats. Ha, 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 ha. Like, I just don't think, I don't think that was funny. I don't think that was entertaining. I don't think that was even interesting. I don't even think that it was appropriate. I just, like, there was just so much of that. Like I said, I just feel like it, as far as the racism goes, I feel like it was trying to make it sound like it's okay. It's okay under certain circumstances for certain people to be racist. And, you know, pretty much mean what they're saying. It's one thing if you're like, that's one thing if you're being satirical. You know, if you're Dave Chappelle talking about how Chip doesn't get pulled over by the cops because he's white, and Chip doesn't have to spread his butt cheeks because he's white. You know,
no Chip.
You know, but there's a difference between that And I think what this movie was all about. And it just really bothered me. So that's yet another thing to like add to the list of it's a topical thing. Racism is always a topical thing. You make a movie that's about racism. Not to make all movies that are about racism sound disingenuous. A lot of them are very important. But I feel like in this particular case, it seemed like it just seemed a bit much. It just seemed like it felt a little disingenuous. Like they were trying too hard to push whatever their message is. And I'm not even entirely sure what their message was.
I wouldn't say that this one had a message necessarily. I mean, other than him being extremely racist. But I mean, yeah, I can see. I can see it. I get your point.
Okay. I think I've tackled the racism enough. At this point, I'm just talking in circles about the racism. But that's another thing. Like I said, that's just another thing to add to that list of topics. You got the tragedy of his wife. You got the racism. You've got the war vet story. You got the freedoms. I have a gun in every room of my house type of freedom story. This land is my land and it's America. There's a cancer story thrown in this movie. I don't think that cancer arc was necessary at all. It just wasted my time. Like, he's coughing up blood here and there. He goes to the doctor. Turns out he's sick. He's probably going to die. It had no bearing on the story. No bearing on the story. There was like two moments.
It made him care less.
There's three moments that play on the cancer thing. One, he calls his son, and he can't bring himself to tell his son that he's dying. Two, before he finds out he has cancer, was it Sue? Why can I not remember her name? Mm-hmm. Okay, Sue notices him coughing at the barbecue towards the beginning of the movie. And then a little bit later, Tao notices him coughing just before he like lights up a cigarette. And he tells him like, oh, cigarettes are really bad, Walt. You shouldn't smoke. And Walt, of course, is like, I'm old. I'm going to do this. not only am I old, but I'm free and American. And I fought for freedom so I can smoke whatever I want. Okay, that might be a bit much on my part. That was a little excessive. But, but, you know, So you got terminal illness thrown in for no apparent reason, has no bearing on the story, didn't make me like the character anymore, didn't make me like him any less. And I just, like, when you find out that he has cancer, I was like, oh, okay, he's going to die of cancer. And then a little bit later on in the movie, like, not even at the finale, but, like, a little bit later on when the gang stuff started to really come up, I was like, he's not going to die of the cancer. That's not going to happen. And of course, we know he doesn't die of the cancer. He goes out and just gets shot up so that he can like nobly go out and save the Koreans or Vietnamese people. And a little sappy for me. I thought it was kind of sappy. Did not make me cry. Did not make me sad.
It was sad.
You're supposed to, you get to that point and you're supposed to think that he's not, you're supposed to think that he is going to pull out a gun because that's what he did with those African American guys that were picking on Sue and her boyfriend. Right. But of course, he pulls out the lighter that has like, you know, significance to him. The whole story of the Gran Torino, the title of the movie, of the Gran Torino that's in his garage, I felt was like, that's yet another slice of Americana for you. He worked in the factory that built that car. He built that car himself and he takes care of it and it's the best thing. And okay, I get it. American car. You built yourself an American car before like Japanese and before rice burners showed up. You know, before Honda and Nissan were on the scene. It's like so much of it I just felt was like, what do you want me to feel about what?
Like, proud to be an American.
It didn't make me feel proud to be an American because he was a horrible person. At one point, he talks about his wife, how she was like the greatest person he'd ever known, and he loved her so much, and he couldn't imagine, you know, couldn't imagine living his life without her. And it's like, if she was so great, why didn't she kind of rein in your racism a little bit? She clearly wasn't like...
She probably was racist too.
Maybe. Maybe she was.
I could see it.
I don't know. But it seems like if she's like this, she's this good God-fearing Catholic that wants him to go to confession. I'm assuming she's not like... Look, there's plenty of racist Catholics out there. Okay, there's more than a fair share of racist Christians out there, racist anybody out there, no matter what your faith is. But I feel like the way that people talked about her and the way that she was kind of portrayed by people talking about her, because, of course, we never actually met her, it seemed like she was a pretty good person. She was kind of the balance to his character, so when she was gone... He just kind of became unbalanced, and I don't think that really works, because it's like, if she was so good, like she clearly wasn't that great of a person if she had such a little impact on you,
right?
That you are just slandering everybody in your neighborhood and have zero respect for other races. And of course, like, the true point of the story is his redemption and him coming around and realizing that, you know, it's not good to be racist, but I guess old habits die hard, so you're still gonna make the racist jokes. I'm sure there's more that I'm just forgetting, but that's the most of it. I mean, I just felt like it was trying so hard to just be everything to everyone. It was a little too American for me. I'm not, you know, you can all say what you want. I'm not that, like, I'm proud to be an American, but I'm not like America, rah, rah, rah. I think America's got plenty of problems.
Right.
And this movie is like kind of America. To me, it feels like America, rah, rah, rah. And I don't know if that's so much a problem with the movie or the story, or if it's a problem with Clint Eastwood, because I didn't enjoy. I know you're not a big fan of Bradley Cooper, so you probably wouldn't enjoy it anyways. But I didn't like American Sniper, which was a Clint Eastwood directed film.
Mm-hmm.
I thought American Sniper was very rah 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 and a little bit racist. many reasons I hated that movie as well, but it was one of those that like this, it was just, it's meant to fill you with pride and maybe I just, it's not the kind of pride that I personally hold. Like I said, I'm proud to be an American. I wouldn't want to live in China. I wouldn't want to live in most other countries, but we do have our share of problems here. And I just don't necessarily think that, I just don't think it's quite that black and white of like, America's great all the time, and this is why. So if that makes any sense, I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't impressed with the acting. Clint Eastwood had a couple good moments when he wasn't spewing out racial slurs. I did notice that he did not drop the N-bomb. There's a point where he's in a bar and he's telling a racist joke about like some Jewish people and something else, and he's like, oh, there's like a Jew and a colored in the bar or something like that, like that's the joke he's telling. It's like about a Jew and a colored person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you held off, buddy. I find it hard to believe that this guy who's calling them gooks and zipperheads is not dropping the N bomb when he's talking with his friends.
Patrick Stewart did it before Clint Eastwood did it.
Yep. Not that that's necessarily important. I don't need to hear him say the N-word. I just thought it was a strange bit of restraint for that one word. I mean, he even calls the black people spooks later on in the movie. So it's like, yeah, okay. I don't know. Political correctness aside, I'm not entirely... colors is probably not safe to say anymore. So... I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. I don't use it. I don't use the word. I have heard older people use the word before, not necessarily as a derogatory thing, but I did notice it. Did not drop the N-bomb.
I think it has a lot to do with just the time frame. Like, obviously he was in a war. I'm assuming either the Korean or whatever. World War One.
I believe it was Vietnam. So they're all,
whatever. So I mean, black people in Vietnam fighting.
Well, yeah, and there's black people in every war though.
Right, but.
All right.
It's just a time frame.
I don't have much more to say. I think I've made most of my complaints clear. I will talk a little bit about the ending. I didn't like the ending. I thought it was kind of cheesy. I get it. He's sacrificing himself for the greater good. He's, you know, he killed many. At one point, he said, I think he even says how many people he thinks he killed in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the number, but he's killed many Vietnamese people. So now he's like making amends. He's going to go sacrifice himself so that the gang members can finally be arrested. I feel like I'm no street smart genius, but I'm pretty sure just getting a few gang members arrested, not going to solve gang violence.
You never know these days.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it works, especially not in 2008. So that I thought was kind of dumb. I thought it was kind of sappy. Honestly, I said, you're supposed to think he's going to go and shoot them all up. But he doesn't. If he'd have gone all Dirty Harry on those people, and just like kicked the door down and just was like, you got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky?
Punk.
Then, yeah, I could have got behind that ending. I might even have raised my score up to a 2. But he didn't. He did the sappy, I'm going to sacrifice myself thing. Oh, also, the whole Catholic thing, the whole religious make yourself right with God thing. I did think I found it kind of humorous, I guess, when he was in confession. He confessed to like 3 things.
Right.
And the priest is like, okay, what else? He's like, no, that's it. As someone who grew up Catholic, not a practicing Catholic these days, but as someone who grew up Catholic, I can appreciate that because I have gone to confession many a time in my life. And oftentimes the priest is like, what else you got for me? And I'm like, that's it. That's all I'm going to tell you today. And then they tell you to say a bunch of prayers that you don't know all the words to, and you're on your merry way. The whole spiritual thing, the whole religious thing, it didn't really do anything for me. It didn't add to the story. The priest, I thought, was I honestly thought the priest was one of the better actors of the movie. The few times that he was on screen, I thought were okay. Actually, to be honest with you, the best part of the movie to me was almost any time that he was talking to Clint Eastwood. I really did actually enjoy their interactions and conversations. Mm-hmm. I thought those were meaningful, and more meaningful than most of the other things in the movie. But those pieces were few and far between. Priest just kind of showed up here and there when it was necessary. Yeah. And then again, then of course you get to the end. He gets shot up because he thinks putting a few gangsters away is going to solve crime. But now he's not there to protect them. Everybody knows. Now, I just think that crime's going to get worse in that neighborhood.
They came back and they killed town.
Like, yeah, like
the next day.
So there is that. Also, him laying like Jesus in the street after he's shot.
I didn't even
notice. Not my thing. Like, I get it. You sacrificed yourself. You make a sequel where you rise 3 days later. I'm in. I'll watch that one.
I can see it.
All right. Anyways, that is it. That is it for my... I think I've complained enough.
Passion of the Eastwood.
Passion of the Eastwood. Passion of the Clint. Eastwood of the Christ. Clint Christ.
No.
Jesus Eastwood.
That I can stand by.
I used to work with a lady who was super Christian. And anytime you said the word Jesus, she'd get really upset. Unless you were like praying or something. I was like, I've been known to use the Lord's name in vain from time to time. And I was working in a factory that I hated. So on occasion, I might say Jesus Christ. And she would always get so angry at me. So I used to I was like, all right, fine. I won't say it anymore. Like the first time, I was like, I won't say it anymore. And then I said it again. And then the second time, I was like, okay, I'll try really hard. I will try my best to not say it anymore. So the next time I felt the urge to say it, I said, Jesus Christe. And she was still upset. She's like, that's just as bad. Because you're talking about the same person.
It's like, you don't know that, baby.
You don't know that. Maybe I happen to know a Jesus Christe. And he's a fucking dick.
Right. And I'll say his name in vain every now and again.
Oh, man. All right. So, anything else? Anything else, Mac?
I think you touched it all, man.
I touched it all.
Oh.
We went deep and angry. We went deep and angry, and I touched it all. Rubbed it wrong and rubbed it raw. Just fit all those things into one little place.
Stop. Yeah.
All right. If you guys want to get in touch with us, if you want to reach out and touch us or get in touch with us.
If you can reach us, but you can't touch.
Okay, there we go. You want a trip to the champagne room. Max, your man.
I was going to say something, but I'm not now.
Fair enough. All right, anyways, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that. You can get us on Instagram, where we are at Two Guys and a Movie. You can find us on Twitter, where we are at Two and a Movie. You can get us through the electronic mail, where we are Two Guys and a Movie at Outlook.com. As always, you can hear us first on Anchor. That's ANCHOR.FM/Two Guys a Movie and a podcast. You can get us on Facebook. It doesn't get updated very often, and it's usually just Instagram stuff. But you're welcome to go like and all that fun stuff there. It's Facebook.com/Two Guys a Movie and a podcast. We're going to be back next week with a movie that I like. Mac, of course, probably won't like. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give you a choice. Give you a choice, buddy. First of all, I decided I can't do Scream. That was a pretty popular franchise. Scream's off the table. I won't make you do that. A, because you don't like it. You've already seen it, and I've heard your opinions on it. But also because it was a pretty popular franchise. And if I'm not going to let you do Dark Knight, because that was a mega franchise.
It was.
I'm not going to do Scream, because as far as horror is concerned, in the 90s, it was a pretty big thing. So, no Scream. But, give you a choice. I'm not going to tell you what either of these movies are about. I might give you like a little bit of information on them. First choice, Across the Universe. It's a musical.
Oh, my God.
All Beatles music.
You would.
I love this movie so much.
Okay.
Across the Universe, it's like a 2-hour musical. I think it's got like 50 Beatles songs in it. Very exquisitely choreographed. Wonderful movie. I don't even like Beatles music. I like this movie. Next choice, 1970s Stanley Kubrick film, Clockwork Orange. I will not tell you anything about Clockwork Orange. You can watch the trailer if you want. But I promise you, it is one of the most bizarre things you will ever see. And that's it. It's just, I promise you have never seen anything like Clockwork Orange.
I'll pick that one.
But Clockwork Orange?
Yes.
Okay. You heard it here, folks.
Can't do music.
We're going Clockwork Orange. I'm excited. I'm excited for this one. Really excited for this one. You may have another one on your hands. Only this time from Mac. Because I'm pretty sure. Anyways. That's it. All right, everyone. We'll be back next week with Clockwork Orange. Dawn's down. You think you're so funny. But off the jump.